Verse 14 and 15 is the portion of the scripture I want to share out of Luke 16. The Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The passage that sticks in my spirit is this one. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. What men think is good is abomination to God. What men put their confidence in and put their trust in, what men get excited about, is abomination unto God. This word abomination means detestable or idolatrous. What worldly men consider to be of high regard and of high estate and of high esteem is detestable in the sight of God and is considered by Him to be idolatry. Now I've sought God and sought Him and sought Him. Lord, what do you want me to say about that passage of Scripture? I began to get out my concordances and my commentaries and my multiple translations of the Word, and he tells me, I'm not going to show you that. I'm going to speak it to you directly. You're not going to read it somewhere. Now, I'm depending on him to do one of two things this morning. You see standing before you somebody who's preaching the Word by faith. And I'm believing God to do one of two things, and perhaps both. One is, He will fill my mouth with the words that we need to hear, or He will fill your heart with the meaning of that which you're hearing. One of the two. Either one satisfies me. I would be perfectly satisfied right now, this very moment, if God had already spoken in your heart the meaning of that scripture. I don't know, frankly, how to put that into other words that are more clear than these. That which is highly esteemed among men, God said, I spit it out of my mouth. Now, one example that does come to me about that kind of thing that is very highly esteemed in the sight of men is the story that's recorded for us in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, I believe. Let's turn to it. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, that means, let's do this, tell you what let's do. Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Here's a group of men who determined that they would build a great work, And they communed among themselves and said, let's get mortar together and let's gather materials together and we'll build this tremendous great edifice that men will regard and esteem highly. God said, it's an abomination in my sight. And he caused it not to come to pass. In the book of the Acts is a story about a man who had exalted himself. It's in Acts, the 12th chapter, and it's the story of a man called Herod, who was king over the area, over the land in that day. And the story is in verse 20 of Acts chapter 12. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. They held him in high esteem. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. One thing the Lord did speak to me just last evening as I was thinking about this verse, Luke 16:15. He began to speak to me prophetically, and I set it down, and I did not bring it with me this morning, but the one portion of it that comes to mind is he said that the works of men I can destroy and will destroy in the twinkling of an eye. That what men build and what men do and what men consider to be permanent, what men consider to be glorious, what men consider to be important, what men consider to be held in high esteem, he said, in the twinkling of an eye, I destroy it. But that which I build and that which I establish will remain forever. We read last week, last Sunday morning, the 127th Psalm, the first verse, in which it said, except the Lord build the house, they that build it, labor in vain. That the work we do, we must do unto God and not unto ourselves. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Dar shua baki ite nia, veo shaburuku itchebara hatana. Father, open up your word for us. Open up your word for us that we might see what's revealed to us by the Spirit. We know that eye hath not seen nor ear heard and hasn't entered into the mind of man. But Lord, your word says that your Spirit reveals these things to us. Open up. Open up, Lord, into the realm of the Spirit and let us see. Verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. For Christ sent me not, Paul said, to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think back about the day that Jesus was crucified, and think where the power was in that day. What did men hold in high esteem in that day? They held the Roman Empire in high esteem. They held the Emperor of Rome in high esteem. Is he still in control? Is the Roman Empire still still a lie? It's not, is it? That which men hold in high esteem is abomination to God and will be destroyed in the twinkling of an eye. How about the kingdom that was established that day? Is it still alive? Did men think that it was a wonderful thing that was happening that day? They stood before the cross of Christ and they mocked him, didn't they? They mocked him and they ridiculed him. They had spit upon him. They had put a crown of thorns upon his head in order to mock him. They scourged him and they killed him, thinking that they could destroy the work of God. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save some that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Just like the world today, isn't it? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory, let him glory in the Lord. I'll tell you what comes to me, and this is all that comes to me. Is the Lord speaking to you? See, has he given something to you specific? That the work that we are to do, I know I've said this before, I must sound like a broken record, that the work that we are to do is not to be patterned after the work of men. That what God has called us to do is not going to be held in high esteem by the world. The world will not look upon what we do and say, hey, look at those guys down there at Water of Life. What they're doing is really marvelous. You know, those folks down there, those Christians down there, they really have it together. They really know what they're doing. I can tell you that the work we do, if the world esteems highly what we do, I'm not talking about specific individuals that are led to Jesus Christ because of what they see and the softness of their heart. I'm talking about the world in general. If the world looks at what we do and says, blessed, that's great. That's wonderful what you're doing there. We esteem that highly, then we've missed God. We've slept, missed him. Jesus said in John the 17th chapter, I don't believe that we ought to go out and just try to do something different in order to confound the world. Just to be smart Alex, so to speak. I'm not saying that. I don't believe God would have us do that. I don't believe he'd have us build a building upside down, for example. I mean, that's just dumb. But I think he's giving us a warning and an instruction, perhaps, concerning something that lies ahead. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this just before he left his disciples. He was giving them warning, and he said in verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're hated and despised by those without, don't be concerned about that. They hated me first. If you were of the world would love his own. If you were like the world, they would love you, they would respect you, and they would esteem you highly. They would admire what you're doing. You'd get headlines in the paper that would say, wonderful work is going on there. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's not easy to get a hold of, is it? I'll tell you, just between you and I don't want anybody to hate me. I want people to like me, don't you? Don't you feel that way? Don't you want people to appreciate you and to respect you and to like you? Jesus said that they won't. He said, you're not of the world. I chose you out of it. I called you to be separated from it. Therefore, they will hate you. Now, they'll smile nicely at you, but they will hate what you're doing. I was reading in the paper, it was Friday night's paper, but I was reading it yesterday, where this has been put down, but the Internal Revenue Service was in trying to find a way into the Christian school movement, was trying to establish student population ratios within the schools, and trying to regulate the schools on that basis. Jesus said, because you're not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, if they love me, they'll love you. If they listen to me, they'll listen to you. But if they don't listen to me, and if they hate me, they won't listen to you, and they will hate you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. For my name's sake. They'll do it because you are a Christian. They will do it because you call yourself by my name. The reason they will do it is because they hate me, not you. They will do it to you because you align yourself and call yourself by my name. And for my name's sake, they will persecute you. Why do they do that? Because they know not him that sent me. Because they don't know God. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The great works that men do, the great men that are risen up in the world, those that have the admiration and the esteem of the world at large. Jesus said, God declares that detestable and abominable. I guess the final fulfillment of that promise will come on the day that the Antichrist is revealed. He will be held in high esteem by men. The world will worship him. The world will love and adore him and give him all esteem and all honor and all obedience. But he'll be Satan incarnate. He'll be the wicked one in the flesh. He'll bring ultimately those people under bondage and ultimately into death. We work this out every day in our everyday lives by having to stand fast against the things that the people of the world want us to do. You young people in your schools are tested every day, aren't you? Somebody wants you to smoke a joint. Somebody wants you to take a pill. Somebody wants you to listen to raunchy stories. Raunchy, you understand the word raunchy? Dirty. And they esteem those things highly. And the people that do them are highly esteemed. I remember back before I knew Jesus Christ that the men who were highly esteemed were those that could drink a fifth at a sitting. Or those that, when I was in college, I'll tell you, if a guy could chug-a-lug a quart of beer, he was something special. You know people like that today, don't you? That are held in high esteem. People who, at any conversation, can give you 15 good dirty stories. People who have risen to the top of their business world or their profession by ruthless tactics, climbing up over the dead bodies of other people. Men who have whipped their wives into submission by authoritarian means, or wives, by using their feminine wiles, have twisted their husbands around their little fingers until their husbands are just wimps of men, and held in high esteem by the world. God says, all of those things are abomination unto me. Great works that are built by men, abomination unto him. The day comes that all of those things will be destroyed. The day comes when none of those things will last. The day comes when everything that has been built by mankind will be destroyed. And only that which is built by God will last. I have settled it in my heart that, I really mean this, that if God told us to build an upside-down classroom building, I would do my best to convince you that we should build one like that. The prayer that I have prayed is this one. Father, we'll do whatever you want us to do. You've heard me pray it. I've prayed it from this pulpit. We will do whatever you want us to do, but this one thing we require of you, and that is that you tell us beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what you want us to do. In my personal life, I've decided that I'll do anything God wants me to do as long as he makes it clear to me that that's what he wants and that I'm not operating and I'm not sure. If I know for sure what God wants to do, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm going to do it. I've made that decision. How many of you have made that decision? Let me see your hands. I know many of you have. Have just said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, regardless what anybody else thinks about it, regardless what I think about it, as long as I know for sure that it's God, as long as I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what my Heavenly Father wants me to do, I'm going to do it. It makes no difference if it looks impossible. It makes no difference if it's stupid to the world. It makes no difference if the whole world thinks we've gone off the deep end and have gone daffy. We're going to do it that way. I've made that decision. Perhaps that's all that scripture is about. Perhaps that's all God wants to say to us today, is that our concern needs to be for his will and his desire, not for the opinions of men. It's very easy to take the programs of men and to adapt them and just change them a little bit and throw a little Bible in them and say, now this is a Christian program. And not realize that it's this far away from what God intended for us. He's already done some of those things. I know in my own life that the fact that I would even attempt to preach the gospel, the fact that I would even attempt to pastor a church when I've not been to seminary and I've not been to Bible college and I do not have even a secular college degree. I have a year and a half of college. The fact that I would even attempt to do that, I know gives some people a great deal of trouble. Don't think it gives you any trouble, you wouldn't be here. But I know it gives some. I tell you though, I have heard some men preach who never finished high school that I would far rather sit under their ministry than some of those that are graduating from our seminaries. When Jesus came, he called Peter off a boat. He called James and John off a boat. He called Matthew from behind a tax collector's table. It's true that God uses the foolish things to get the wise so fussed up that they don't know whether they're coming or going. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah! I know where I'm going. And I thank you, Father, for that certain assurance that in our hearts you have planted the truth. That in our hearts you have planted your plan and your vision. In our hearts you have planted even the way. We say this morning, Father, in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the things which the world holds in high esteem are detestable for us. We detest those things that turn the world on. We abhor those things that cause the world to get excited. For we see like you do how temporary they are. And how insecure they are and how they'll not hold anybody up. We declare unto you, Father, that we have established ourselves to love the things of God and to glory in the Lord. Not in ourselves. Not in the things which men do, but in the things which you do. Whatever you do, our Father, we believe it to be eternal. We believe it to be solid. We believe it to be right. We pronounce with our mouths this morning that your judgments and your precepts and your ways are right. They're much higher than ours. They're much wiser than ours, but they're right. And we just establish ourselves once again in resolve, Father, to do what you want done. Not to make our plans according to the plans of men, and not to establish our people or our programs in line with what men think are good. For we care nothing for the praise of men. We care nothing for the admiration of the world. We care nothing even for the respect of the unredeemed. We care for their souls. We care for their eternal future. We care for their physical needs and their emotional needs. We care for their very lives, but we do not care what they think about what we're doing. And whether they regard it with esteem. For we seek only the praise of our God, and whatsoever we do, we'll do it as unto the Lord. And know for a surety, Father, that that which is accomplished here, that it'll not be built by men, but it'll be built by God through men. And that it will endure any shaking. It'll endure any turmoil. And even at the last day, it'll stand. We declare our faith, Father, through the spoken word. In Jesus' name, amen.